from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Texter said it's the dumbest argument. Group of friends got into a drunk high debate argument on whose life you would rather live. Neil Armstrong or Matt LeBlanc? Joey from Friends.
He talked into the night. The kind of talk that seemed important until you discover girls.
Definitely Joey from Friends. I'll take all the money.
Hey, how you doing?
And the other guy's a liar.
Neil Armstrong. Yeah.
But he did work with Kubrick, so that's pretty cool.
We ain't never been to no moon. That's Stanley Kubrick who filmed that, bro.
Rich, famous actor who could probably, you know, date anyone that he wanted to after his career. Or the first person to walk on the moon who will be talked about for forever.
Okay, put an asterisk there. The guy came back and didn't have any cheese with him. We're just going to believe that?
We all know that the moon is not made of green cheese. But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What? I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
I think I would monetize being Neil Armstrong more than he has.
Brody, Neil Armstrong, or Neil from North Lake?
Would you rather be? Wow.
Why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air.
That was our moon landing. It's equivalent.
One talk about small step for the score, one giant leap for Bear.
That was really more important to the DNA of my life than to some guy walking on the moon.
This is CBS News color coverage of Man on the Moon.
My office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
What? Wally, say something. I'm speechless.
In your face, Neil Armstrong.
One, two, three, and here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Excellent work by Chris Tannehill, as always.
Don't you remember when your parents told you stories about having gathered around the television that night to listen to Neil from North Lake talk to Mike Ditka?
It was a remember where you were moment.
It really was. Cronkite there just kind of shaking his head, you know, with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Remarkable stuff.
Couldn't believe the power and the stuff for humanity that Neil and North Lake provided the world. It was inspiring.
Yep.
Really. You know what's not inspiring, Speaks?
Oh, that's a good segue right there.
Thank you. I could have went with uninspiring, but I went with not inspiring.
Why use two words when you could use one?
Yeah.
Or the other way around?
Exactly.
All right, yeah, carry on.
Forget it. He's not rolling.
Not rolling at all.
The Chicago Cubs.
Unrolling.
So there's two ways that we could come at this, and we will do both. But, all right, it feels like they're going to be sellers. And if and when that happens, who gets the blame for how they've gotten to this point as they're past the halfway point of the season? I'm happy to play the game, the blame game with you before we get to some specifics of what it might look like at the end of the month. Because we still have, you keep saying the calendar is their friend. It's technically true, but it does say July on it today. So it's not early anymore.
Well, John Morosi earlier in the day took us to the selling in a pretty dramatic way. So we'll get there. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts on the selling. And on the blame, I guess I'm just wondering this. I'm wondering if Craig and Jed are pissed at each other, and I wonder like if they're doing any sort of internal blame on that. Because as I was listening to Jed over the weekend talking long about this stuff, he clearly has been waiting around believing that they're better than they are. He believed all last year that they were better than they were, you know, and believed that they fell apart because of whatever soft factors and the other, like the Pythagorean stuff and the run differential said they were better. Yeah, and he thought they were better. And it's like he's getting slapped in the face with some reality. Just two things that jumped out from Jed speaking, wanted to get your thoughts on. And here was one as he talked about the malaise that they've been in and how it has not stopped.
When I look at April and how we performed and looked at the rest of it, yeah, I am very surprised. You know, I feel, it felt like, you know, sort of like 2 weeks turned into four, turned into six, it's turned into eight. And that's the reality, right? And I think you weather that storm a little bit for a while, and you sort of you get through it. And we were, you know, we had some games over 500 to play with, and then, you know, it just hasn't ended, you know. And I think that's the hard part. And I think, you know, I think that is a huge factor. And, you know, we haven't been able to spread any games out, you know. And then obviously, you know, our bullpen has struggled and has been, you know, super banged up now. And so that combination is dangerous. But I mean, I really do feel like, yeah, there is huge variance. And you know, I think you don't have to look that far around baseball to see teams that have been struggling and caught fire. I mean, the Mets were 11 under, I think, at one point, and they've played exceptionally well. And it's a funny sport that way. You never know when a team's going to get hot and turn around. We did it last year when certainly no one was expecting us to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the best way I can say it is it's just dragged on a lot longer than we had thought. And now we've walked ourselves into a really tough stretch of schedule.
So 2 weeks became four, became six, became eight. It was kind of visceral. It hit me in that way. And he's talking about how, like, you know, the Mets just caught fire. I always think of 2017 when the Cubs and the Indians both had those terrible starts.
Yeah.
And Terry Francona figured out a way to get the Indians going. And eventually the Cubs got going. But, like, when I hear Jed talk about that, that sounds like that's on Craig and his staff. The fact that the twos became four, became six, became eight. Manager's job, coaching staff's job is to snap them out of it and stop a string like that somehow, some way. And it sounded like Jed was kind of sitting around waiting for that to happen. And it has not happened.
It has not happened. And there's no doubt, man, that I don't know how much blame council deserves for this. Because I feel like the tactician part of it is where his strength is. The, hey, I'm not a bullpen whisperer or anything like that. And this is largely the same team from last year that did win 83 games. We could say they should have won more. They won exactly 83 games. Now, by the way, they're pacing to win way fewer than that this year. Injuries have been worse. Player performance has been worse. He doesn't have his whole coaching staff. I'm sure he deserves part of the blame for this. It's hard for me to pinpoint what blame it is when we play the game of what bullpen pitcher do you trust, and none of us can point to anyone.
Yeah, when I heard that.
So that's what I'm, for me personally, I'm like, listen, if I had an answer to that question, it'd be a lot easier for me to put it on the manager. But like, I don't blame managers when a team gets shut out. You know, it's like, okay, how many runs is he supposed to come up with? And if I have no bullpen guy that I trust, well, then who the hell is he supposed to go to? I mean, yesterday they scored one run in the first inning, then lose 7-1. Mm-hmm. That's the entirety of the baseball game. So I don't know how much that's on him.
Yeah, when
it's hard for me to say that that's on him, and I would say the same thing about David Ross. By the way,
I know
I wasn't clamoring to fire David Ross.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Jed talk about what he sees with the players, that they're maybe trying too hard here.
There's a cycle that happens when, like, guys are, I wasn't trying too hard, but like, I do think, yeah, of course everyone's pressing.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
You see that. You see guys pressing. I mean, these guys are all aware. Like they're, you know, they. They know they haven't, you know, scored enough runs over the last, you know, 2 months, and so guys start trying too hard to take the extra base and do the little thing to do it, and like to push the run across. And I think that's human nature, and it's a bad cycle.
So he's acknowledging that they're pressing, and it's human nature, and I see all that, and I want Craig and his staff to do more, but I got to tell you, both these moments when I hear these, it doesn't sound like enough thumb from Jed for me. Does it? It doesn't, because it really is more on Jed and team building than it is on a half season of Craig Counsell, when he as a manager is about much more than just the game day management. It is about, to me, the blame is way more for me and, you know, on Jed than it is on Craig. And when
to me, it's on players than Jed, then Craig is somewhere in that mix. And if people want to throw ownership in, I have no problem with that philosophically, but I do struggle with the resources are there, man. The resources are there. Now, if you want to say they spent those resources inappropriately, that's Jed. But they've spent enough money to spend on power slugging or power pitching.
They've given them resources. Haven't. They've given them a lot of different resources, including manager money, including, you know, money for
director
infrastructure,
of pitching, and all that stuff.
All of that front office money and any of those resources that they need. I mean, dating back to Mesa and the complex and everything, and then you know, everything that happened to Wrigley and stuff like that. It is resources to a point, and that's why people will point at ownership and stuff. But I think what comes out of all this to me is clearly on Jed and team building and the lack of a superstar and the desire to try and do it in like inefficient in efficient and kind of
reasonable spending, high floor players, depth.
Yeah, collect a whole bunch of talented and interesting players who could all overachieve together as opposed to some stars to rise above. And I heard those things jump out at me as like, and it makes me wonder if they're, you know, nobody's happy when things are going poorly.
Intelligent spending.
But if they like what I'd love to know what their conversations are like. It's like, Craig, I thought you'd get more out of this. And Craig said, Jed, have you seen what I have to work with here? You're the one who put all this. I've been here for 3 months. How is this on me? That kind of stuff.
Well, the thing with Craig, and we'll talk to him Wednesday at 2:30. And I got to think about the best way to like approach this is like, so he doesn't have his staff of players, and he has a role in the front office stuff, but this is largely the same team from last year. But a thing that we would normally put on a manager is if a team is flat and not trying. I think this team is trying. They've certainly been playing flat, but leading the league in outs on the base paths, being bad defensively, bad situational hitting, those are things that at times we have put on a manager. Is that on him, or did they choose to get worse defensively at some areas? Like, they by choice, right? They are organizationally choosing to get worse at third base for Christopher Morel's bat, etc. And the bullpen is injured, like we talked about. And it's like, I don't know who to blame for Cody Bellinger not knowing the number outs on Friday.
Yeah, that's the
that
manager.
Feels like it should be Cody Bellinger.
It's Cody Bellinger, but it's also the manager.
And
the pressing has to be
somewhat on the manager. I agree.
It has to be.
I agree.
It has to be. But are they pressing because they know they're not good enough? Because they know what they have isn't good enough? Because, you know, it's like a lot of pressure was put on by this hire of the manager and this anointing of the mix that they had. And it has not gone well. So look, it is a mix, and there's a mix in there, but it is by far the focus ends up being on the team building, the concepts of this Cubs build, the roster management, whether the farm system is as good as it is, the allocation of the money.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
on the corner outfield spots, and it precludes you from getting certain people up here to the big leagues, all that stuff. I think Jed is going to end up on the hot seat in this situation if this team is what it is by the end of the year, because this is a year that you were supposed to win.
Yeah, you were supposed to win. I still would bet against him getting fired, so I don't know how hot the seat will be, if that's just going to be a media and a fan thing. I still would expect him to be here next year, but I agree with you that this is mostly on him if you had to pick one person. The idea of selling, and we got a lot of time to get to that, and there's a lot of people who want to weigh in on what we're talking about right now, so we will take a few phone calls here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bleak. Like, if Jed decides to sell, the names are going to be easy, right? Okay, Hector Neris, he's on an expiring contract. You always look through the expiring contracts, but he hasn't been very good. Cody Bellinger, he's on an expiring contract, but he has a player option. So would a team trading for him be scared of him opting in because the slug hasn't been there? But obviously he does other things well and he has positional versatility and all of that. But like, Bellinger will be an easy name to talk about. Neris will be an easy name to talk about. Kyle Hendricks would be an easy name to talk about. Now, he hasn't been awful, obviously. But I'm just saying, like, those contracts are easy. The thing that is going to be tricky is, are they looking at this as a blip and a small sell to just retool? We were talking with Morosi about it. Full rebuilds and teardowns don't really happen, but
in part because of the way the draft lottery has completely changed.
Correct. But like, would they say, you know, we talk about the White Sox and it's like, can they win within Luis Robert's window? Would the Cubs say, Shota Imanaga's value will never be higher? We should trade him. We don't know how many more years Justin Steele has before we can win again, or before he's due for an arm injury. We need to trade Justin Steele.
Three more arbitration eligible years after this one for Justin Steele, who's making $4 million now, not in a UFA until 2028.
So I would assume the answer on that one is a hard no. I would assume Steele is basically untradeable.
Because Steele has not regressed, by the way.
No, he's been
had
great.
A really, really good year, regardless of the zero wins.
But my point is, like, you don't have a lot of obvious rentals to trade that would get you a lot. So in order to, like, really shake it up, because if you let's say you just traded the guys that are obvious,
mm-hmm.
Hendricks, Neris, Bellinger, maybe another relief pitcher or something like that, you're in the exact same situation next year.
Yeah, no, they've...
Like Saya, PCA, Happ, Nico, Dansby, Bush, yeah. Morel. Like your whole diamond is locked in if you aren't really going to start thinking about uncomfortable trades for people.
You're right. I struggle with it when it feels early, and even though the record is what it is, and it is July, it still feels early to have the committed conversations about it, but it's what we do, and it is what it is.
Oh, and you can change your mind. And yes, Happ has a no trade, Saya has a no trade. Like, there are complicating factors here, but right. I'm just saying, like, there are... They don't have a lot of obvious rental candidates that would get you anything that would excite anybody.
And, no, without a doubt, And if you're really going to change it up, if you're really going to look inward and say, oh, we're not what we need to be, then you've got to do more. You've got to do more. And you might have to, as JP Morosi said earlier in the show, might have to eat some money to do it. You know,
they'll go on to be Kyle Schwarber.
Well, but that was really interesting as Morosi talked about eating some money. Because if he's talking about, look, Ian, we'll get you to agree. It's a no trade clause, I know, but let's go to someplace like this where you'd like to be and you'll accept it. And then would the Cubs eat half of that money that's remaining? Does Tom Ricketts see that as more palatable to eat money in a trade than he would to go over the competitive balance tax first level? You know, like, manage your money, clearly deemed palatable. They're paying David Ross this year, and they signed Counsell to the big thing. Now, that doesn't go on the payroll. So that's like, it's not.
But it is in their baseball budget, but it doesn't go towards a tax. You're not going to pay $2 for one on the manager's salary.
But it's an interesting thing when Morosi talks about eating the money. All Steve Cohen and the Mets cared about was, let me just go ahead. Yeah, if I got to eat that money to get us better stuff and trade, great. Because I don't care exactly what it's going to mean. And it's just, it's more advantageous for us, that kind of thing. that perspective, I'm not sure what it is. And I keep thinking about the Yu Darvish trade to San Diego when they took, frankly, an inferior level of prospect packages. One of them has turned into Owen Casey, and that's good. But they took a low level of prospect package in exchange for the Padres taking all of the money. Padres ate 100% of that $58 million. Peter Seidler was in the midst of an aggressive run trying to take Southern California from the Dodgers. It didn't work out, but, you know, but they took Darvish and all of that money, and the Cubs were able to get $58 million off the books. So are they looking for that kind of thing in these trades? It's an intriguing moment, that's for sure.
Five callers on the line. I asked Peter to grade them, so if this doesn't go poorly, you know I won't be pointing a thumb. Let's go to Ryan and Lyle. He was the vote of Peter Hansen. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. This is Jed Hoyer's team. He's the architect behind this team. This is his fault. His fingerprints are all over this. He's the one to blame. Even going into this season, we had issues with the bullpen, and I don't think he did enough to even address that. And if we do retool, which I think we should, why would you trust him when he failed the first time around? Would you trust him to make those decisions? If you want a new perspective, you should hire somebody else.
You know, there's so many.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. There's so many factors and decisions under the aegis of a baseball boss. It's so many more than a lot of other sports in terms of the whole organization and every level and overall theories and philosophies and everything like that. And to reduce it to only the big league roster is difficult, but that's the business. This is the life you've chosen. And I think Jed's track record would make it difficult to trust on the big league level together.
But it won't be a full rebuild, and he's 1 year in to the big council coup, if you want to call it that. And I know the returns are not looking good, but internally it was, oh my God, we got Craig Council. And the Shota signing has been very successful. And they do believe in, look at what has happened with Steele and Shota. Like I would say it is still a pretty heavy favorite that Jed Hoyer is doing a state of the team address at Cubs spring training next year.
I think that's probably
even
true.
Even if they win 75 games and sell at this deadline.
And I still contend that this is a very healthy baseball organization. They are a smart and healthy baseball organization. It's just
that argument is
it's tougher to make.
Is getting tougher to make, though. If you think that they've invested philosophically in the wrong types of players.
Well, there's some of that, and there's some arrogance and belief that they were better on the big league level than they actually were last year, and they trusted some of the metrics about that.
Jake in Lake Geneva is on the score. What up, Jake?
Hey, I like to think that maybe the responsibility for some of this bears on the 670, the score, because they build up the expectation. You know, I mean, just kindly, I mean, if I could take what the coaches want to say and what the coaches believe and what the management and front office wants to believe. But then again, it's also how it's spoon-fed to all of us in Chicago. And there's only one that really has that voice, and that is 670, the score. Thank you.
All right. Well, no, thank you for giving us that much power.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank you.
He's still there?
He's not. He dropped.
Aww. I mean, it depends if we're talking about...
Thank you, Jake.
If we're talking about public perception as the topic, or if we're talking about the actual team and the people and if they're any good. So if you want to live in the world of ideas and public perception, then we'll go ahead and accept that power. But when it comes to whether the team performs at all or not, we have surprisingly little to do with that.
No, I have everything to do with it. I am the reason why Mitch Trubisky failed and why Caleb Williams will be a success and why the Cubs struggle with runners in scoring position.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I am all-knowing and all-powerful, not only for the Cubs, but also the Bulls and the Bears. Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
I don't really use much of my powers on the White Sox.
No, you
so
don't
that's,
seem
that's
to.
On the Reinsdorfs. But no, it's that is silly and not true,
but
I appreciate it.
But I get it. We're intertwined with it. We're intertwined with it. I think that's part of why I felt like I got kicked in the spiritual nutsack yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Is the intertwining of the confidence, of the belief, of the positivity, and all of that, you know, in terms of what we bring to it. But really, we have no power.
We have no power.
Zero power.
But
I really wish that we did. More reaction pouring in, including an absolutely incredible baseball moment locally over the weekend. Yeah, it's true.
And it's going to require some animal forensics.
Next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.